On the winding trail back to the Ville, they had spotted a couple of the Muti pigs heading away from the horsemen toward a narrow side canyon that led away north between high cliffs. Rainey had pointed to them, suggesting that it could be the place where the herd was presently living. It was a fact that Ryan had tucked carefully away into his memory, in case it might become useful in the next couple of days. It was obvious that they only had a couple of days to act. By then, the Baron would have surrendered his Ville, or Ryan would have organized a rescue party for his son. Either way, the outlook was grim and menacing for all of them. The Baron had asked for a little while to consider his options, wanting to spend some time with his only child in his rooms, promising that he would meet with the Outlanders over the supper table at 7 o'clock. Meanwhile, the companions also withdrew to their own rooms. Ryan lay on the bed, on his side, wincing occasionally at the way the arrow wound was pulling. Mildred had suggested that it would help to stitch it, but Ryan had argued against it, claiming the wound would heal more quickly unaided. The musket ball that had gone in and out of JB's upper left arm had left a neat entry and exit wound that was now tightly bandaged. The armorer kept flexing his fingers, working his shoulder, trying to find out precisely how much damage had been done and how it might have limited his range of movement. It didn't seem serious. The splinters of stone in Jack's right ankle were the most troubling of the trio of injuries. Mildred had asked for an array of oil lamps to be provided on one of the big scrub tables in the kitchens. She had used a pair of borrowed tweezers to pick out the tiny shards of rock. The blood had welled from the dozen or more holes, some of them bone deep, but the teenager had lain quite still, not making a sound, though he did bite his lip from the pain. Eventually, having swilled it out with bowls of near-scalding water, she used cotton swabs to pick away any remaining specks of stone until she was satisfied. But now, it was giving him a lot of trouble. He walked with a limp on the right side. Trader paced around the room, slapping his hands together, fired up, ready to go again.
If that merely pricks us or give up the Ville, then what do we do?
The problem is that the ransom is meaningless. They think they've got his son. We all know they haven't.
So he'll tell us to go bite the fresh air?
Lots of barons would. Not sure about Wayman. I think he'll listen a lot to Jamie. It's partly his fault they've got Dean. We'll find out over supper.
JB stood by the window, looking out across the darkening land.
I agree. I'd lay my jack on him wanting to help us out.
My suspicion is that the Baron will do what he can to hang on to his power, which will probably mean having to assist us in attempting to save dear Dean. Of all the Barons I've seen during my time here in Deathlands, I have to say that Wayman seems the most decent.
Yeah, losing his power.
Duck smiled at the little gunner.
They say power corrupts, and that absolute power corrupts absolutely. Perhaps it makes for a better class of Baron if they are weakening somewhat. What think you?
Waste of time talking. We know soon enough.
One of the serving women at the supper table kept crying.
Oh, come with me, Sarah. Everything will be all right.
She was soon taken away from her duties.
Micah's daughter lost her mother only 6 months ago from the flux.
Neither the Baron nor his son had appeared when the first course arrived at the long refectory table, though the sec boss said that he'd received orders to get started on the meal, on the understanding that Wayman and Jamie would be down to join them a little later. The soup was a rich mix of tomatoes, leeks, and potatoes, with succulent chunks of braised pork. It was perhaps a little too heavily salted for Ryan's taste, but the wholemeal bread made it more palatable. Rainey was deeply on edge, only toying with his bowl of soup. He played with the cutlery, staring out across the room toward the shuttered windows. He suddenly looked over at Ryan.
Well?
Well, we'll go after the Brushwooders. Bring out Dean and take some blood payment for the three dead men.
We don't have the practice. Not for a drag-em-down-and-kick-the-shit kind of firefight. Been too long. We're all too slow for Straub and his butchers.
Trader tipped up his bowl to drain its dregs. He soon put it down.
Tell you what, Sackman. dangers when someone doesn't know that they're weak. You're lucky. You got all of us to ride with you and shoot with you.
One or two of us aren't at our best, but there's nothing to stop us coming along.
Stupid.
Mildred shook her head.
I know none of your wounds are seriously life-threatening, but they're all nasty enough.
Ryan knew in his heart that she was right. The middle of his back was extremely sore, and he was aware that he couldn't turn or bend anywhere near as quickly and freely as he would normally.
That true, Mildred?
I can get by, but that's the best I can say.
Seems like old times have just come around again, eh, Trader? Best you take charge of the raid.
Hell, why not, boy?
Baron Wayman finally came down with his son at his side when the rest of the group had almost finished the main course of smoked mutton with a mustard sauce. He looked older and sicker, his face a dusty gray, and he leaned heavily on Jamie's shoulder as he walked to his place at the head of the table.
Soup, Baron, or meat?
No, simply a bowl of warm milk with some bread, please, Dorita.
Yes, Baron.
The Baron sat down and waited for his meager meal.
I have talked with Jamie, and we are of one mind and one heart. Your son, Carter, has been trapped because of my son's foolishness.
And because Dean was extremely brave in offering himself up as a worthy sacrifice in my place, Father, we should not lose sight of that.
Ryan was once again impressed at the confident way the boy spoke, and at the adult vocabulary that he used. He wondered whether he was actually doing the best he could do for his own son's education, but he set the thought aside. It was something that he knew he should return to at another time and place. Wayman smiled at his boy.
Truly spoken. So, we shall give all the help we can to this venture. Rainey?
Baron?
How many of our men can be spared, and only the younger and fitter ones?
There's no more than 10 good enough for this, Baron.
That will leave us with some force to defend the Ville, will it?
Look, Baron, you don't need to be all that fit to lean against a window and fire a blaster. It's different out in the forest against the Brushwooders. No point in taking cripples. Just put us all at risk.
Well, fine. Trader, is it? Then, yes. Fine, it's agreed. When will you go from here?
Midnight. There'll be enough moon to see the trail. Then I'll use your segment as backup. Rest of us can go in an hour or so before the dawn. That's when the guards will move the slowest.
I'm coming.
Makes sense, Trader.
Long as he does what he's told, Ryan, and stays where he's put.
Jamie will do what he is told, Outlander Trader. You can be sure of that. And...
Baron Wayman stood, resting the palms of his hands flat on the table.
I have something to say. I will probably have to go to my bed shortly. My health and not my will dictates this. So I may not be up when you leave on your mission.
Best pick the men, Baron. Trader, where do you want to meet? Stables?
Yeah, Rainey. Midnight.
The lean-faced Sekhman bowed to his Baron and walked out of the room. Wayman watched him go.
Firstly, I wish you all luck. Secondly, I offer you my heartfelt thanks for taking my side in this. You owe me nothing. Most outlanders would have walked on by, or even thrown in their lot with these brushwooders.
Not our way.
That may be so. This is the last of a very old brandy, from long-lost vineyards in the valleys north and inland from here. If you would help yourselves, I should be delighted.
The Baron poured a thimbleful of the aged wine for himself, lifting it to his lips. The companions all did the same.
Health, life, and happiness.
For all here.
Amen to that. Excellent. Here is to the damnation of all enemies.
And to safe returns.
Hear, hear.
Everyone retired to their beds to get some rest before the midnight meeting. Alone among the friends, Dot found himself unable to sleep, the excitement of the fighting to come making him restless, combined with a slight overindulgence in the superb Chardonnay. He walked